Is the Holy Spirit welcome here? Amen. 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 Well, again, good morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. Do you feel the love of Christ in this place? Amen. I pray that you do. If you are visiting with us, maybe your first time, maybe you've been here a few times or so, but we're especially glad that you are here. I invite you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, like so. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to invite you to fill that out. And if you want to be on our email list, put your email, but check the, there's a little box right below the email list that says you would like to be on our email distribution list. So would love for you to fill that out. You can either leave it in your seat, or I offer this to you after the service. I will be in the foyer down at this end. I have a free gift for our visitors. So some of you are thinking, well, I want a free gift. I've been here 10 years. I want a free gift. Sorry. But if you are if you come and visit with me, I've got a free gift for you in the foyer. And Billy will be up front if anybody has any needs or would like to pray. He will be there as well. And you can find me out in the foyer to pray with you as well. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, this 1 John is the same author of the Gospel of John, and in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 7, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. I want to say that again. That's worth repeating. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. And we ask you to come and speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, starting a new sermon series today. The series is Love Like Jesus. And today's message is God is love. Love like Jesus. God is love. Now, we're gonna unpack this scripture today, this 1 John 4 passage. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this, but I want to touch on verse 18 there, where it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." So I want to start there and say this: that if you are fearful or anxious about stuff, anything, it's telling us that perfect love drives out fear. Who has perfect love? God has perfect love. So the more we press into God, the more he drives out fear in our lives. So if you're feeling fearful and anxious, I want to tell you the answer is press into God. Press into God. Now, that's just a little side note, beginning next week, we're going to spend 3 weeks in 1 Corinthians 13. That's a favorite passage. Many brides want that read at their wedding, we're going to spend 3 weeks. The next week is going to be love is, we're going to define a little bit deeper, love is, and then the next week is love does not and is not, the things that love isn't. And then the final week, it'll be love always and never, things that it always does and things that it never does. So that's kind of a lineup for the coming 3 weeks. But today, I wanted us to start with this what is love? I mean, how do we define love? In this passage, I mean, I didn't count it up. Somebody can do the math there, but love is mentioned a lot in these whatever 10 or 12 verses. So let's unpack it. To love like Jesus, and that's our goal, isn't it? To love like Jesus, we must understand, first of all, that God is love. We don't have the capacity in us to love like Jesus without the Holy Spirit residing in us. We see it three different times. In verse 7, love comes from God. Verse 8, God is love. Verse 16, God is love again. So we see God doesn't just love, he is love. I mean, everything about God is love. Now, I said this last week, and I love it. It's really been on my mind. One of the little kids last week came up to me in the foyer and asked that question. I addressed it last week, but kind of caught me off guard. But he said, "Why doesn't God just kill the devil?" You know? And I don't know how theologically sound this is. Some of you pastors, we got three or four pastors in the church that can give me your thoughts. But what I came up with on the spur of the moment was, because God is love. I mean, he's just love. And now that doesn't mean God is not also a God of justice. I mean, he is a God of justice, but we see in Scripture over and over where God says let me read 2 Peter. I think it's in your notes. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some, in speaking of him returning again for judgment, as some would understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. God is love. We're messed up. And he wants us to press in, and he wants more people to understand that he is indeed love. He wants everyone to come to repentance and not to perish. Now, so we have to understand if we're going to talk about love for 4 weeks, we have to understand the true source of love is not you and I. The true source of God is God. Source of love is God himself. Secondly, not only is God love, is he love, and not only does God love, but he demonstrates his love. God proved his love through Jesus. I mean, the old saying, you know, put your money where your mouth is. God proved that he is love through Jesus. This is in verse 9. This is how God showed his love. So there's a demonstrating of it. He doesn't just talk a good game. God demonstrates his love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So God is love, and he demonstrated it because he wants us to have life. He wants us to have abundant life, and he sent Jesus. And he wants us to have eternal life. And then he goes on to say, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's a passage in Scripture, one of my favorite passages, that speaks as well. It says this, Romans 2:4. It says, God's kindness leads you towards repentance. It's the kindness of God. It's too many times we make the mistake that we think that somehow if we scold sinners, if we scold them and we tell them, you know, you're going to hell unless you have... There was a church in town, their billboard, this was a few years ago, I drove by and broke my heart, really, in all honesty. I mean, maybe it was true, but it just didn't... The presentation was not good. The billboard said, read the Bible, it'll scare the hell out of you. That's what it said. And I drove by and I was like, what? That's on a church billboard? What? No, God's love leads people to repentance. The kindness of the Lord. I don't know about you, that's what led me to repentance, was the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of the Lord. And it doesn't mean that God, again, that God is not a God, a just God, because there will come a day when he judges. But in the meantime, he sent Jesus so that we could have life and so that we could have abundant life. And so he demonstrated his love. He doesn't just talk a good game. Bob and Janie. And Janie, I'm sorry, I got totally overwhelmed and you were that lady over there a while ago. But Bob and Janie that joined our church this morning, I had their permission to share this story. When they expressed to me their desire to join the church, they said, getting emotional about this, but they said around 3 years ago that when their granddaughter very suddenly died, Karen's daughter, when she very suddenly died, the love and the outpouring from this church to them, and we didn't know Bob and Janie, we didn't know them at the time, we knew Karen, but the love and compassion of this church, and so Jesus, through you to this family, drew them to this church. It's the love of Jesus that leads people to repentance, that leads people to him. This past week, I visited with a man. I didn't know this man. I didn't know his family. They're not part of our church, but I was made aware of a man in hospice who's dying, and he's not a believer, and he's really to the point where he had Alzheimer's, and he can't really have any sort of a rational dialogue at all, but he's near death, and his family wanted me to come and pray with him, and there were two sisters. One was a believer and one wasn't, and I visited with the sister who was not a believer was there, and we had a chance to sit down and visit before I prayed with him, and she was real honest and very, very nice person, and told me she was not a believer, and I said, well, can we talk about that a little while? And so we talked about that, the reason she kind of put church and Christianity out here was because she said, all I ever see is hypocrites, people that profess to, you know, and she kept using the word religious, and I kept, you know, religion doesn't save you, it's Jesus, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, but she was just like, Christians, all I see is, you know, hypocrites. And I said, well, yeah, we kind of step on ourselves a little bit. We're kind of, you know, we're flawed. We're people. And I said, don't put your faith in people. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so, and I don't, you know, I told her, I said, you know, it's not my place to assign heaven or hell to anyone. It's not my place. That's God's business. But I do know Jesus came to save us from that. And I do know that God is a merciful God, and this was the key that I told her. I said, you may not believe in God, but I said, he loves you. And her dad was laying in the bed over there, was not in any shape to even be participating in the conversation, was asleep. And I said, and he loves him too. He loves him too. And I said, as long as he's drawing a breath, I don't know what God can do with that. I mean, that's God's business. But I do know, the one thing I do know that I'm certain of, he loves you and he loves your dad. And he sent Jesus to prove that. It's God demonstrates his love for us through Jesus Christ. And I love this in Romans. It says it this way about the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing separates us from God. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is firm. God's love is firm, and he has demonstrated it through Jesus. And church, we have received that. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have received that love. And lastly, I want us to look at number three is our love. Our love proves God's love resides in us. I use this passage a lot, 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 20, and says, we are Christ's ambassadors. Don't you love that? We are Christ's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us. Christ, the love of Christ dwells in us, and it should go through us. The world should believe that God is a loving God. It breaks my heart when I hear people say, I'm not a Christian, I don't go to church, because those people are just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, we can drop the ball, can't we? We can drop the ball. And I shared my own personal testimony with this lady, and I said, you know, until I was about 30 years old, I was one of those. I was one of those guys you're talking about. Because I went to church, and I was a leader, and I taught Sunday school, and I did all these things, but my life didn't match my talk. I was that hypocrite. I was not living my life in a way that honored him or honored my wife or honored my family or honored anything. We are Christ's ambassadors. He sent Jesus to demonstrate to us how much he loves us, and now he is calling on us to show that to the world, to be salt and light to a dark and flavorless world. Everyone, verse 7, everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. Now listen to this. We like that part. We don't like verse 8 so much. But whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Man, sometimes the scripture is hard, isn't it? If we're not loving, then what the scripture's saying is, the way I read that, if we're not loving, then God must not reside in us. Now, we can't do it perfectly the way God can, but we should be getting better. We should be able to love better tomorrow than we do today if Christ is in us. Verse 11, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So there's this idea that God is love. He demonstrated it through Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. And now we are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. And we love on his behalf. And I got to tell you, many, I see it all the time. You guys, so many of you do that wonderfully well. Y'all are great ambassadors for Christ. And you have been to me, and I've seen you be that to other people. I want to share this short little video with you. I was not familiar with this man. He was he passed away in 1966. He's kind of an old school evangelist. His name was Charles Weigel. I believe how you pronounce his last name. He died at 95 years of age in 1966, and he wrote this song. Some of you may know this. It's an old hymn, but I was not as familiar with it, but I've become more familiar with it. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He wrote that song.
I was in my home down in Florida, all alone, sitting at the piano. I play the piano. I'm not much good at it, but I play it anyhow. And I get to thinking of how God had done so much for me, and how it was growing on me, and how souls were coming to Jesus. And then I said, Jesus, no one ever cared for me like you. I wept. I got excited. I said, you are so lovingly, so kind. You're doing everything for me. And then I stopped, and I wrote the whole song in 20 minutes. Now that's something I've never done since. The whole song that I'm going to sing in 20 minutes, and it's going around the world. They're singing it. People come to me from different countries and say, well, we sing that song down in our country, in our language. I say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares.
We make the mistake, church, of putting our faith in religion or a pastor or a church. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. I'm just telling you. Jesus, a relationship with him. God is love. He's demonstrated that through Jesus, and he's given us the gift of relationship with Jesus. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we are blown away at how much you love us. I can't imagine why you would sacrifice for your son for a wretch like me. But I'm thankful that you have. I'm thankful that your love is steadfast. It's not flighty. It doesn't come and go. Circumstances don't change it. Our goodness can enhance it. Your love is steadfast. It's perfect. Teach us how to love like you. First, God, we can't love like you if we don't know how you love us. So show us how much you love us. Communicate that to our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and communicate that to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close out with this last song, I want to again invite you. You can bring your blue card with you if you have it. You can meet me out in the foyer if you're a visitor and would like to meet me and visit with me. Billy will be up front. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, what a great day to call upon him and to accept him. Let's stand as we close. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We have the good news, church. We have God's love dwelling inside of us through his spirit. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. He's the